Turn to 1 Peter 4:2. 1 Peter 4:2. We're continuing in a series called Formula for Success or Failure. And this is the seventh in the series. And last week, I considered the most important message of the year. If you weren't here, please get it. If you need to have faith in God, your faith is lacking, please get that message. If you want to be encouraged for the year, what God has for you, please get that message. And this today, we're going to be talking about how to discern God's will. And this is the seventh in a series. And what we've been talking about really is preparing you for what God wants to do in your life, not just in 2014. Let's not be so short-sighted as only looking at the year. I believe last week's message would not only transform your life if you took it to heart, it would not only transform your year, but transform your life and your future ministry. That's how important it is if you take it to heart. I listened to it as I tried to listen to all my rantings and help myself, and I was in tears within 8 minutes. And I don't know about you, but I'm saying that's because the Spirit of God is speaking, and we can resist the will of God. We can push God away, and we say, we don't want to know, and I can't be bothered. And I'd say it's a dangerous place to be. It's a place where there's no life, a place where you get dusty, a place where you get rusty. And I think your place to be where you get oily, and God gets using you, and the Holy Spirit's working in you and out of you to will and do His good pleasure, and He's flowing like torrents of living water through you. Is that what you want for your life? Do you want God's will for your life? Are you happy with yours? Well, that's what we're talking about today. But we've been talking about in review, well, leading up to the exhortations for the new year, we've been talking about the first one, the five idols of the West. Western civilization has idols. Western Christianity has idols. And it's anything that gets in the way of God. And we need to realize that our comfort, our entertainment could be getting in the way of all God wants to do in your life. Do you want to see all that God wants to do in your life, or you just want partial? Would you be happy with a third, or do you want it all? Well, I want nothing less than all. Matter of fact, I want more. I want everything God wants to give me, and I want to make myself available for even more. Well, we looked at that. We looked at prone to wander and prone to forget. We looked at how we drift and we go up and down in our life, and that we need to stay close to the Lord and anchored in Him, and we need to regularly come to Him, and we need to be sensitive to where we're at, taking spiritual inventory. Then we looked at from Nehemiah, expect opposition. This is where so many Christians falter. They think that, you know, the Christian life's, you know, like a butterfly, and we float around and we light where we want, and we feel good, and it's, oh, the pollen's good over here. You know, expect opposition. That's what the Bible tells us. Expect opposition from within, expect opposition from outside, and prepare for it. Then we talked about getting dressed for battle and how I related it all to the gospel and your salvation and the cross, basically. And actually, I'm the only person that did that I read of, and I thought it was profound. I'm still amazed. I'm still amazed, the belt of truth, that God loves you. And if you can get over that and God's creator, man, everything else is downhill. Could you believe that God loves you? Could you believe that God is big enough to create everything with a word and spoke it into existence? If you can believe that, everything else is downhill. And see, that's the belt of truth, realizing these foundational truths that will help us get us through the tough times, because the belt of truth, everything's hooked to. Your sword, your armor, your breastplate. Anyway, we looked at being dressed for battle. Because there's opposition, we need to be dressed for battle, expecting opposition so that we can stand. Not so we can run, not so we can curl up in a ball, so we can stand and fight. And that we'd be aware of the wiles of the devil. And so much we need to know these things. And then last week we talked about how God wants to take you, and He wants to put you on eagle's wings. And He wants you not only to put you on the wings, and we explained that thoroughly, but He wants you to soar on as eagle wings. He wants to show you heights. He wants to take you places. He wants to blow your mind, I think was the first point. Is God blowing your mind? You're not in the right spot if He isn't, because God will blow your mind. You know, exceedingly, abundantly, above all you can think or ask. That's our God. Do you know Him? Do you know that God today? Maybe you haven't been walking with Him. Maybe you're not too close to Him. Maybe you're prone to wander and prone to forget, and you're not too close. Well, I exhort you to come back and fall on your knees in humility and say, God, I've strayed so far. Help me. Help me. Help me. Humility is what God looks for. Jesus came in humility, and He's asking humility of us. And, you know, there's a pattern what God's trying to say here. I think He's trying to encourage you. that he's not finished with you, that he has great power and he's on your side, and that's the belt of truth. And these songs we sing, I can't remember the exact line, but it was, all those who are saved, shout out. All those. Everyone who saves sings out. Isn't that beautiful? Were you singing out? Are you distracted? Is a king missing out on his worship? You're created to worship God. Well, I find those songs just so beautiful, preparing our hearts for the word of God and what God may say to us, that we lift up Christ in his proper place after we get here, and maybe having a rough morning and things being spilled, kids doing whatever they do, and husbands doing what all they do, and wives doing what they do, and cars doing what they do. And we get here and maybe we're a little bit distracted. You know, we need to come and forget about ourselves and look full in the face of Christ when we come and worship. And, you know, we need to be able to do that. We need to be able to do that more readily and active. So we come here as a practice for our daily life. Here it's a lot easier, surrounded with accountability and surrounded with music. But can you do it in your regular life? Can you forget about everything else and just focus on Jesus when it's time, when the trial comes, when the bump in the road hits? Well, we're going to look at how to discern God's will. You know, this is, you know, last week I think is the most important message of the year, and this is one of the most fundamental and important questions you can learn to answer, is how to discern the will of God. And I've seen so many crazy and funny things done, and I've seen so many mistakes, and a lot of times I could tell they were making the wrong decision, but we let people be free, and I also know that people learn from their mistakes, and a lot of times, and I'm not God, so I don't know everything, but you know, a lot of times I can just go, doesn't look like God to me, but okay, all right, you think God told you, okay, all right, well, go check it out. Unless I really think you're going to get hurt, or, you know, I don't really have a right to try and usurp what you think God's doing in your life, but sometimes I will tell you what I think, especially if you ask me, but I often will remain silent if you tell me God's leading you, and I'll just watch. And I've watched so many walk into or out of God's will by their lack of understanding of how to discern God's will. So today, we're going to look at this. And you know, when you do make mistakes, it comes under Romans 8:28. We all make mistakes in trying to discern God's will. It's not always easy. Sometimes we jump the gun. But it all comes under Romans 8:28. Do you know that scripture? You should. It's one of the greatest scriptures to know. That God takes everything and turns it to good for those who are loved him and are called according to his purpose. You see, when we make mistakes, and I know that too to be true, that's why I'll let people make their mistakes and learn. And you need to realize that God takes everything under. I can take that mistake and I can turn it into good. I can train you with it. I can teach you depths of truth through that. I can teach you that that wasn't God's voice, or that's not who you listen to, or that's not how you discern. We learn by mistakes, don't we? We also learn through our successes, but probably more through our mistakes. Well, I have a big meal for you today, and, well, it's probably a kilo of meat. So get ready. Slide 2. We're going to be talking about how to discern God's will from 1 Peter 4:2, and it says, then he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh for the lust of men, but for the will of God. And that's what we should do when we come to the cross. We should no longer live for ourselves, but live for him who died for us. See, our life is bought at a price. It's no longer our own. And we need to realize that. We need to surrender our life and quit holding on to it, because God has a better plan, exceedingly, abundantly, more than you could ever imagine or think. A better plan than you. But so often we want to cling to our little plans. Penny Crosby said this, bought with a price, you're not your own. Live for the master and him alone. Gather the sheep from the mountains cold. Gather them into the shepherd's fold. Work for his cause till your work is done. Stand by the cross till your crown is won. Penny Crosby's pinned to many of things in the depths of her soul. In blindness, she could see. She could see spiritual things, and she wrote many of songs and things, and that came out of the depths of her soul. And it's so much apropos for what we're looking at today. And living for God, you know, if we bring it into the right perspective, it's easily understood, but we don't think about it, or we don't want to know that we're slaves to Christ, that we're to live for him. It's so easy to push that out of our thought. In Psalm 143:10, David said this, teach me to do your will, O Lord. Not to know your will. Go beyond that. Teach me to do your will, Lord. And, you know, if your heart's right, you'll find God's will. If your heart's right, you'll serve God with passion and fervor, because the more you serve him, the more he adds logs to your fire and makes you just, you love it more. You see, we need to desire to do his will. Do you desire to do God's will in your life? Do you desire to obey God? Do you want to know God's will so you can decide if you want to do it or so that you can do it? Do you believe that God has the best plan for your life, or do you believe that yours is? If you were to find out today that you were living in contrary to the will of God, would you make changes in your life to be in God's will? The question is Jesus your Lord? You know, in just preview to this massive, big hunk of meat of a study, which we're going to see a miracle either way today in this. Jesus, when he was talking to the Samaritan and witnessing to her, the Samaritan woman? No, the woman by the well, I'm sorry. The woman by the well. And he was witnessing to her, and the disciples had went out and got food, and they came back, and, oh, Jesus must be really hungry. And they say, hey, Jesus, we got some food, you know. And he says, I have food you don't know about. What? What do you get a sandwich from? I tell Rhoda this all the time. I got food you don't know about. So I'm working all the time, and I just love it. I don't want to stop. I don't need a break. I don't need a coffee break. I don't need a tea break. I need the will of God and working it out, and it's enough coffee for me. And Jesus told him and said, I have food you don't know about. Mine is to do the will of God. You see, we need to realize the will of God is what we should live for. We should live to do the will of God, the work of God, in the plan of God, in the power of God. And see, that's what God wants to do in your life, and that's what he wants to put you up on eagle's wings, and you start to fly on your own, and pretty soon he can just let you go. I just let this one loose because, man, they're going to do some damage. You see, when we live like that, God empowers us, because he empowers us to do his will, and we see God's power in us and through us, and it blows our mind. And so when we step out in faith and we do these things, and, you know, we have food that you don't know about to do the will of God, and then we'd rather have that than food, and it's enough to sustain us just to serve God. And there's days that I can work 16 hours, and I'll take a 5-minute break to eat lunch and a 10-minute break to eat dinner, and not a break in between, because I have food you don't know about. It's in my drawer. No, you found that spot, didn't you? No, do the will of my Father. Because see, Jesus said it himself, you know, where did you go, Jesus? You disappeared. And what did he say? I went to do my Father's will, or something like that. I went back to the house to do my Father's will. You see, that's what needs to be our heart. And Jesus set that model and example. And he set it in the example of when he went to death, and he went to die for us and for you and for me. And he went to the Garden of Gethsemane, and he's walking, and he's saying, Lord, if there be any other way, take this cup from me, but yet not my will be done, your will be done. You see, are you ready to resign your will to do God's will, even if it hurts, even if it's scary, even if it means dying to self, or even dying? You see, we need to come to that place where we're ready to live for him who died for us, knowing in our hope, the helmet of salvation, that we have, this life isn't all there is. To die is to gain, Paul said. And we realize these hopes, and these hopes press us on through adversity. These hopes press us on through the bumps in the road. And when we get off in the bump and we're in the ditch, we get right back on. We get right back on the road because we know we need to endure, we need to press on, and that God is good. And whatever bump we've hit, he's ordained, we'll turn it to the good. You see, we need to realize these things about God. We have the Lord's Prayer, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. We have this Lord's Prayer said and wrote in many schools. Maybe you say it wrote, but do you believe it? Do you live for his kingdom to come and his will be done? Well, we're going to look at three things. Hindrances and helps, taking a spiritual inventory, revealed will. And this I call step one, or the truth from God's word, or a foundational. And then the specific will of God. How to discern the specific will of God. And it'll be a miracle if we get there. And it'll be a miracle if we finish. So there's the two miracles, one of the two miracles we're going to have today. So expect a miracle. Spirit, and this is the specific will, the Spirit leading and guiding us. And this is step two of confirming God's specific will. So let's look at slide 3 and hindrances and helps. And it's about taking a spiritual inventory. And, you know, so many people don't do that. They run in the natural. And they don't pray. They don't read their Bible. And they run in the natural. Is that you? You say, oh, well, you know, you don't know my life. I know what Jesus has called us to. Else is contrary. So do you want the life God has for you? Are you going to make time for God? Are you going to do some spiritual inventory? Are you going to read your Bible because the Bible speaks to you? It's your food. It's your milk. And you need it. Oh, yeah, I got 20 excuses for that. Well, you've got excuses to starve to death spiritually. And so we need to realize that we need to take a spiritual inventory. And there's a process that we go through to do all that. Coming to church regularly and hearing the word of God and coming and receiving the word, humbly implanted us and doing worship so that we can prepare our hearts to receive the word. Going from here encouraged and convicted or whatever we have and going walking daily in the presence and power of God in every detail of our life. And that's walking with God. That's a spiritual inventory, walking. And, oh, that wasn't too nice what I said. Oh, that wasn't very gentle. Oh, wow, I could have said that better. You know, and not always questioning yourself, but evaluating your spiritual inventory. And so let's look at some hindrances and help to knowing God's will. And I'm going to machine gun these to you for the sake of a miracle. One of the things that can keep us from knowing the hindrances, first, lack of understanding of God's word and character. You see, in the Bible, you learn who God is. You read the Bible. Listen, you read the Bible to know what God's like. What's he like? Or else you create a God in your own image. You fashion a God in your own image. He's a God, jackpot genie God who gives me everything I want, blesses me, and never, blah, 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 yeah? That's what we do when we don't get to know the God of the Bible. See, we need to put on the belt of truth, and we need to learn to wield the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, and the only way to do that is to get into the Word of God. The only way the Holy Spirit can illuminate, the only way the Holy Spirit can bring back to remembrance is if you first download the file. So that's your exhortation to a lack of understanding can keep us from the truth of God, the will of God, a lack of contentment. Now listen, this is amazing. How are you content today where you're at? Are you content in the Lord? I think a dissatisfaction with life can cause you to reach for other things and start a grasping and a reaching. You need to be content with what you have, with who you are, and where you're at in life today. Now, that doesn't mean, oh, well, I'm just going to stay here. No, no, not at all. Listen, anything I teach, that's not what I teach. Contrary, big time. But we need to be content in the Lord. And I think a lack of contentment, a dissatisfaction. Now, we sang a song like that today. Help me. We sang a song or something about this something. Oh, it's beautiful. The last song, satisfaction of my overwhelms and satisfies my soul. Sing it with me, Misha. Come on now. Overwhelms and satisfies my soul. I just really want to be a pop singer. Okay, so anyway, so a lack of contentment. Did you know the love of God? Are you experiencing the love of God? Are you experiencing God? Does this love overwhelm and satisfy your soul? If you don't take nothing else with you, leave with that. He overwhelms and satisfies my soul. I'm not getting that from life. Well, then you're missing something. Is he blowing your mind? You're missing out. Is he overwhelm and satisfy your soul? Well, it's a new song, so I'm going to help him learn, teach it, right? We'll get that bit out anyway. Am I getting it right? Let me not teach him wrong. You know, is it the right tune? Overwhelms. I guess I want to join the worship team. Can I? No. Well, you know, are you experiencing God like that? Because, you know, you need to take a spiritual inventory and say, God, you know, this idiot says I'm missing out. Am I? Am I just going through the motions? You know, God wants you to experience him. He wants you to know his goodness. He wants you to put on that belt of truth with confidence that he loves you. The confidence of the goodness of God. And he wants you to stand firm in that so that you can fight in the battle. If God loves me, it doesn't matter what else people say. If God loves me, it doesn't matter how bad I mess up because he's an Abba Father. Isn't God good? Do you know that God today? Are you overwhelmed and satisfied? Let me mess it up. Satisfy my soul. Oh, it's a good line, isn't it? He overwhelms and satisfies my soul. Is that the God you know today? Let's just stop right here. Why go forward? If you got that, everything's fine. Are you knowing that? Are you living that? Well, the lack of contentment, a lack of understanding, a comfortable life, desire of comfort is one of the idols of the West we talked about even. Don't confuse contentment with comfortable living, by the way, because we can be content and living a comfortable life, but it's not in the will of God because we're comfortable in what we've made rather than the will of God. And then I think the other big hindrance to the will of God is your will, probably one of the biggest, your desires. Your flesh desires can impede the will of God, your sinful desires, your plans. You know, sometimes we can make these plans, but we need to write them all in pencil. And I'm going to give you a proverb in a minute that tells you we write our plans, but God orders our steps. So we need to be flexible and open. God gives us a creative heart. He's a creator, and we're created in his image. He created us to be creative, so he created us to plan and dream and think. But we write our plans, and we make them out in pencil, and then he orders our steps, and we need to be flexible. Wow, okay, I got that one a little bit wrong. Oh, he's going to do different. Oh, he brought somebody new in. Oh, somebody who's been here a long time has left. Okay, he gives you these different variables. And you're going, okay, Lord, you're in control. The belt of truth. All right, variables change. Our plans need to be written in pencil, and we need to realize God's plan's better. So seek him for his plan. Slide 4. Further hindrances is a lack of surrendered life, a self-centered life. We need to surrender to the will of God in order to die to ourself, die to our will. A lack of a surrendered life. We must come to this place where we depend on God, we trust God, and realize his ways are better than our ways, and we must be willing to seek his way, do his way. We need to come to this place where his love is enough. He's all that you need, and he's your everything. You see, when you do that, when you realize that, you can say, your life is not your own. Here I am, Lord. Send me. And I'm not worried about where you'll send me. You want to send me where there's rats? Ah, maybe I'll learn to write like rats do. You know, goodness of God, putting that belt on, you don't have to fear what God might do. Oh, he'll challenge you and he'll take you to places and you might go, oh, it's pretty high up here. But you'll get used to the heights. You see, God is good and he wants to take you places that it may be a little bit fearful. But you can stay comfortable in the nest. You can curl up in a ball and you can remain there and get dusty and rusty. Or you can say, God, I want eagle's wings, but I'm afraid. Just say, take that step of faith and he'll say, okay, take a ride, kid. You know. Impatience is another thing that hinders the will of God, and we get impatient. A lack of seeking God is one of the things. A lack of waiting because we get impatient. You know, we need to seek God. I got a great illustration for, I realized just this morning, I was meditating on one of my illustrations. I go, wow, it was a lack of seeking that did that. And we need to wait on the Lord, and the good news is he's not in a hurry, so as a rule. So we can be patient as we seek till we know. And then when we know, we need to move forward in faith. But other hindrances are others' expectations for you. Now, I've never seen such a great need for, what's it called, counseling before you go to college. I have, since I've been here 16 years, I have talked with so many students who don't have a clue where they're going or why they took the course they got and don't know how to get where they want to go. It's so sad. It's unbelievable sad. There's a whole ministry for somebody right there. I do it quite a bit, and I know very little about the system, but I know God. And others' expectations, I've never seen such a problem with parents putting an expectation on their children. So you must become this to be in my good stead. You must make over this amount of money to be in my happiness. Man, you're putting pressures on your kids to make them unhappy. You might be happy to say your son or daughter's a doctor, a lawyer, accountant, a business person, and you might be great at dinner parties, but if your kid's miserable and they become an alcoholic because they're miserable because they're doing this job they hate, I'd rather my kids do. I don't care what my kids do. All I want them is to serve God in whatever they do. So many expectations of others can keep you from the will of God. You know, let your children be what they want to be. Let them dream and, you know, let them go. Let them make their own mistakes. Help them, guide them. But is it all about money, your college degree? If you have money and you're miserable, is that the best route? Well, that's what we set them up when we put these expectations of what it is to what you're supposed to become. I've never seen such a problem with, and then they end up dropping out or whatever anyway. There's such a need to help people. College grants and loans are such a waste of time and money without the proper counseling. 80% of those graduating are not getting a job in their field. Sorry, students. I'm not trying to discourage you. I'm trying to help you to find God's will for your life. 80% of those graduating are not getting a job in their field. And then you have the debt of the loans. You see, you need to pray and seek God's will. It may not be the normal way. I know a local businessman I met with, and he has 3 kids, all of college age. And so his kids all want to go to college because that's the right thing to do. We've we've ingrained it in society. This is the right thing to do. Now, you may not agree with me here. We've ingrained it. This is what you do. You should go to college. And that's a good thing to do. If you're not going anywhere, go somewhere. But how about find God's will and go there? Whatever it is. Your son wants to go and take a gap year. Man, I suggest they take a gap year so they can think about where they're going. My son came over. He had a clue how to get where he's going, didn't know where he was going. He came over here for 6 months. He got redirected. Boom. He finished his school. He got a job. We're trying to help him through, helping him find who he is. You know, when you're young, you don't know who you are. People are deciding their future. They don't even know who they are. I didn't even have a clue till I was about 30. Started figuring it out. Still trying to figure it out. You see, and so people are making life decisions without the will of God, only in the natural. And in college should be done in the will of God. It's time. It's money. It's a resource that God has given you. Well, I tell you this for all you parents who have children. Yes, college is a good thing. But I would rather my kids be happy in what they want to do and enjoy their job. You know, to enjoy your job, there's nothing greater. Can you imagine being miserable in your job? All your life going misery, misery. Man, I wouldn't wish that on anybody. But yet others' expectations can put on children and all these things. And yes, you should give them high ideals and hopes and dreams and help guide them. But what if God has a better plan than you? What if God has a better plan than what you had or your family's had or your traditions had? Because God is big and he's mighty and he wants you to soar on eagle's wings. And he wants to take you places, maybe not by the normal route. Well, college is the way you go and you get your sixth form or whatever it's called and you go here and you do that. And what if God has a better plan? What if God says, take a gap year? Well, that's pretty wasteful. What if in that gap year, like Saul, transforms his life? What if in that gap year, God gets a hold of his heart or her heart? Or what if they just run off to college and instead Satan gets a hold of their heart? Well, we're out of the will of God and we're going to pay for it. So they go to college and that's the thing to do and they get on the drinking bus. And so they go out with everybody else because they haven't really strengthened themselves enough in the Lord. And so they go out and they join into the crowd. So proud of our college students come home and so proud of all of you who are walking with the Lord. So proud of you. So proud of you. Really am. And I hope you are. If you're not, a little conviction there. You know, they haven't jumped onto the sex bus and the drinking bus and that many Christians do. Many Christians that go to Christian Union are out the same night partying, getting drunk, and living just like the natives. Well, there's enough for other expectations can hinder us from the will of God. Fears and feelings can hinder you from the word of God. Remember what hindered them from going into the land in 40 years of desert? Fear. There was giants in the land. I'm afraid. How many times did God say in the Bible, fear not? Fear not. I am with you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Fear not. Be not dismayed. Fear not. Be of great courage, he told Joshua. We're going to go into the book of Joshua in a few weeks. Our fears, our feelings, maybe even feelings of inadequacy. And that's why there's such a need for one-on-one ministry and mentoring and coming alongside people and just listening to them. To hear their inadequacies and fears and say, but what about eagle's wings? You need to listen to that message. I don't know. I don't know. Was it encouraging? I don't know. I thought it was encouraging. I want to fly. I am flying. What do you mean? Coming down is my problem. Fears and feelings can keep us from the will of God. Pride can keep us from the will of God like Nebuchadnezzar. You know, he didn't see that God gave him everything, even though God told him and gave it and showed him statues. You're the head and you're the head of gold. But yet God had to send him out and become a crazy man for a season for him to realize God is in control. God is Lord. The status quo can also keep us from the will of God. And this is what everybody else is doing. This is follow the crowd without consulting God. Well, this is what we do in our society. Man, we need to evaluate college in our society. I'm sorry. Fees just went up. Let's evaluate. What is it? You know, I didn't tell you to finish telling you the story, did I? Guy with three kids, all college age. He's a businessman. So he asked did I finish that story? Sad, but true. Huh? Anyway, he tells his kids, so why do you want to go to college? Oh, I want to go to college. What do you want? Why do you want to go to college for? To get a job. What do you want to do? Well, I want to do this. Why do you want to do that? So blah, blah, blah. And he says, why don't you start a business or something? You know, why don't you do something that, you know, you might like to do? And he says, 80% aren't getting a job in this, so you're going to have this debt. And he's trying to say, have you thought this through? Are you making a decision? Anyway, I was amazed at this man and telling his three kids, have you really thought it through? You see, we need to think and we need to seek the will of God in everything. So that's what he's telling his kids. He's college educated. He's a man, well-versed man. I loved hearing what he had to say and telling us about what young people can do and get grants to start businesses and things. He said, question, why do you want to do that? Does anybody help young people going to college? What do you want to become? Why do you want to do that? And have they taken a personality test to see if they'd even be good at it? You know what I wanted to do when I wanted to go to college? I wanted to become a solar technician. Oh, it's great to be doing booming right now, huh? Lots of business. I'm not in no health to do get up on a roof. I shouldn't even get up on a little ladder. You see? So it is a bad decision if somebody said, Clint, you're not going to be in great health. Or you're a little bit crippled and you think you should be climbing on ladders. That's what I wanted to do. I was looking to the future, the green future, 25 years ago, way ahead of my time, wasn't I? Anyway, we should no longer live the rest of our life in the flesh, but for the lust, not for the lust of men, but for the will of God. Slide 5. Let's look at some helps quickly. Contentment is a great help. Are you content in the Lord? Satisfy. What's the song again? Overwhelms and satisfies my soul. Are you content in the Lord? Are you content that God loves you? Jesus loves me. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. One of the deepest truths you can know. If you can be secure in that, your inadequacies, your fears, you can fly. Well, I don't feel very good about myself, and people say bad things about me. And my mom, my dad, my teacher, and all those people said all those bad things about me all my life, and I don't feel very good. But I believe God. I believe God over the voices in my head of inadequacy, that you're no good. You're a child of the King, adopted into His family. Feel the love of God there. He sees in you what He wants to do in your life. Will you get on His plan? Slide 5, are we on that? Helps, contentment. As a rule, God's not in a hurry. So we can wait as a rule. Now, sometimes we need an immediate decision. Where James New was running Friday Night Live, was it last week, 2 weeks ago? And there was a problem with the film. It wouldn't work anyway. He says, what do we do? I'm like, I don't know. You've got to decide. And I said, well, Saul and I talk about sports, joking with him about how this is how it is. Everybody else is laughing and having fun and la, 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 la. Well, you've got to make decisions behind the scene. Nobody sees what you're going through. Nobody sees the coffee maker doesn't work. Nobody sees the video doesn't work. Nobody sees that we don't have a secondary plan for the night. So you've got to come up with it. So, you know, put him on the spot. God, as a rule, is not in a hurry, but sometimes he needs a decision right then. Just like with Nehemiah, what do you have to do? The king looked at him and said, what's the matter? Why are you looking down? I can kill you for that, you know? What did he do? He sent up an arrow prayer. Oh, Lord, help me. What happened? He looked to God, and what happened? The king financed the rebuilding of the temple and the surrounding wall of the city. Because a man walking in the Spirit, walking with a dependency upon God, when was asked by the king, said, oh, Lord, help me. Stood up an arrow prayer, and God's will was done. So, also, then we need to step out in faith. Another help is, no, all right, I think it's God's will. I think it's God's will. I think it's God's will. Okay, jump out of the plane and pull your cord. It's time to jump. Take a jump. Take a leap of faith. We'll be looking at that in Joshua 2 about taking a step of faith and what it looks like. You know, God wants to do great things in your life, but fears can keep us from taking that step. We can say, okay, I've discerned the will of God. I know it's the will of God. And you can sit on it so long to where it goes cold. Now, generally, the will of God should burn in your heart and not go away. But out of fear, you can start justifying, oh, it's not God's will. And you find out reasons, and you start, instead of seeking the God's will and doing God's will, you decide to justify why I'm not going to do it. Because of fears, it takes faith, because of the cost. You know, it costs to follow Christ, but it also costs to not follow Christ. The difference is your view of God. There's a cost to following God, and there's a cost to not following Him. And then the other help is start obeying in the small stuff. You know, we need to learn to discern the will of God in the small stuff. That's where we start learning to discern the voice of God, the will of God, to walk, what it is to walk in the Spirit, what it is to be led by God. Okay, I made that decision. All right, it was wrong. Okay, I see. I thought a voice spoke to me. Okay, that voice is actually my conscience, or that is myself speaking to me. Whatever. Okay, that's not it. What it's, you know, and you start discerning it. You start realizing through actual practice of desiring to obey God and do God's will, you learn through practice of failure and success how to discern the will of God. But we're going to learn here, apparently, the miracle is in two times, not one, how to discern the will of God. Obeying the small stuff, and listen, let your yes be yes and your no be no. What's that about? Being faithful in what you do and say. Be committed to what you do and say. Don't be flippant. Oh, yeah, I'll be there. And don't show up. A lot of times I'm running around trying to figure out because somebody didn't show up and figuring out what they didn't do. And let your yes be yes and your no be no. Be committed and faithful to what God's called you to. Because we should no longer live the rest of our time in the flesh for the lust of men, but for the will of God. That's 1 Peter 4:2. Slide 6. We looked at hindrances and helps. Now let's look at the revealed will of God that is in the Word of God. And then probably next time we'll look at how to spiritually discern spirit and truth. We're going to look at today truth, and then we'll look at spiritually discerning the will of God. So, slide 6. You know, this is step one, or the foundational phase. You must know the Word of God to do the will of God. You must understand it so you can be guided by the light or the lamp of the Word, you see? And so if you don't have the Word, you're sort of going with what you feel, think, and believe. You're sort of creating a God in your own image, and you're following Him, and that leads to destruction. It leads to failure. And we're talking about successes or failures in our coming years, how to discern the will of God. You see, we need to be aligned rightly with the Word of God, walking in it, so we can better discern by walking rightly in the revealed will of God, so we can find the specific will of God. What has the Bible already decreed that it is His will? There's many things, and I'm going to machine gun a number of them to you. It's God's will that you be saved. And the Bible says that it's good and acceptable in the sight of our God and Savior, who desires all men to be saved. And it says He's patient with you, not wishing any to perish. It's God's will that you're saved. And if you're not saved, you don't have the Spirit of God to illuminate the Word of God so that you can find out the will of God. You see that? See, if you're not saved, you can't discern God's will. So you need to be saved. That is the will of God. 1 John 2:17, it is the will of God to believe in His Son. And there's a lot of things. It just point blank says, it is the will of God that you be Spirit-filled. I think we need another topic on that. We talked about it in the walking in the presence of power of God and what every Christian should know. How do you walk in? It's God's will that you're Spirit filled. What does that mean? That means to be controlled minute by minute in the day in the Spirit and be controlled, and He's watching you. God is watching over you. That's the song we sing. The kids go crazy. God's watching you. And you see, we need to realize that He's watching us, and we need to be controlled by, we need to be connected to Him. We need to, our satellite needs to be connected with God. Don't lose that connection. God, what's that? Come back. You're breaking up. You know the phone when it does that? You got to get that connection. It's there. It's available to you. But you got to be walking in the Spirit, controlled by the Spirit. In the same context of Ephesians 5, where that's at, it says what walking in the Spirit looks like. Let me just tell you a few things it says there. It says that wives willfully and joyfully will be submitted to their husbands. It says that husbands will be loving their wives as Christ loved the church and dwelling with them with understanding. It says there that parents will not be provoking their children to wrath if you're walking in the Spirit. You know how many times I apologize, hopefully less and less all the time, to my children when I'm not walking in the Spirit. I try and teach them things. I try to teach Caleb to wash dishes this week. And it wasn't in the Spirit. It's in the Spirit of my Father, my earthly father, and how he used to speak to me. I'm like, oh, man. So the next day I apologized to him. Caleb, I'm sorry. You know, I wasn't teaching the way I should. And I was being Sergeant Clint. You know, like that. And it's like, oh, man, I do that so well. But it's the voice of my Father in my head, not the voice of my Abba Father. And so, you know, I'm trying to teach him, and I wasn't in the Spirit. I was in my natural. My natural is ugly. It's ugly, isn't it, Nigel? That's what you said today. I realized. The first time you realized? Who we are is ugly on the inside, and God reveals it to us, and it's so ugly, and we go, oh, Lord, I need you. I need your grace. I need your love. I need to know that belt of truth. I need to know you still love me. Oh, man, it's so transforming. It says if you're walking in the Spirit, so your employees and employers will be doing what's right. And if you're walking in the Spirit, you'll be saturated in the Word of God, and the Word of God will be illuminated by the Spirit. This is what it says if you're walking in the Spirit. This is just some of the outcomes, and oh, I love this. And if you're walking in the Spirit, here's some of the other outcomes in Ephesians 5:19, that you'd be speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Oh, I've been doing that since I got some new CDs. I just was worshiping God. This very song that we sang tonight, I didn't really catch all the words because I'm learning it, but that was the song I started. I said, I can't wait to worship tomorrow. That song came on in the kitchen. Oh, we need worship in our life, don't we? We need the Word of God, and we need the worship of God flowing in us and out of us. But it says if you're walking in the Spirit that you would be doing what? Ephesians 5:19, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs and making melody in your heart to the Lord. You see, the condition of our heart has the barometer of our lips to tell what's going on. The condition of our heart has a barometer. It's the lips and what comes from it. You know, every time we have a meal, I sing. We sing a song at every meal because I started doing that because of walking in the Spirit. I realized sometimes I'd come right from working my, you know, fighting dragons and demons and coming back. Oh, it's time to eat. You know, hurry, get this over with. I got to get back to fighting dragons and demons. Or into the Word, or whatever it might be, that I think is so much higher than me walking in the Spirit before my family. And, well, I started saying, you know, sometimes I would come to the table and I wasn't in the Spirit. I was mad. I was angry. And, oh, it was horrible. So I realized I needed to come to the table, and my barometer was singing. Can I sing? So sometimes when I'll come to the table, and maybe I'm not in the Spirit. Maybe I'm mad. Maybe whatever it may be. And I can't sing. And then I realize, stop. Okay, don't sing. Let the kids and everybody else sing. Get your heart right 3 times a day. Get your heart right, Clint, because, you know, I don't want you walking in mad. I want you walking in the Spirit, and you need to take spiritual inventory and check yourself. So every meal we sing a song. It's a barometer for my heart. We had some neighbors come over and eat with us this week. And so I just said, okay, we sing a song, and we're not changing because you're here. I didn't say that, but, you know. And then so we started singing, and they're like, and then the kids just started laughing. They thought it was funny that we sang a song. So it was pretty cool. See, we need to be walking in the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit. We're going to probably talk about this again. It's so important that we understand this thoroughly, like the back of our hand. You see, it's God's will that you walk in the Spirit. You be filled in the Spirit. It's God's will that you're thankful in everything. Give thanks, it says in the Bible in 1 Thessalonians 5:18. You know, we need to find God in every detail of our life. We need to be thankful for the trials, for the blessings, for the sufferings. You see, what? Sufferings? Yeah, because he's working in you to will and do his good pleasure. He's preparing you to be a soldier for the king. You're a son and a soldier. And that's just a revelation to me very recently. And I told you, if you want to understand me, if you're confused, I'm a soldier for Christ. And the Lord recently spoke to me this week. He says, you're also a son. You're a son first of my kingdom, more than a soldier. For me, that was revolutionary. To put him in that order was God making a minor correction or major correction in my theological understanding of my call and purpose in life. You see, we need to see God in every detail, and we need to be thankful. What's the song again? Overwhelms and satisfies my soul. That's the God we got to know. That he's so good when we blow it, he's right there to give us the grace. Overwhelms and soul. Oh, man, I'm going to get it today because I'm going to be belting it out at home, irritating the neighbors, you know. Overwhelms and satisfies. I'm sorry. I'll get it, man. I'll get it. I'll irritate everybody with it. We need to be thankful. And in every detail of our life, you know, trials come. And, yeah, first we may kick the can and, oh, okay, Lord, what do you want to do? What are you trying to do? Lord, thank you. Thank you that you're teaching me things. And he does. We may not be learning. We may be still kicking the can and grumping and whatever we're doing, but he's teaching us because we realize we weren't walking in the Spirit. And we go, oh, Lord, forgive me for yesterday. That was terrible. Or, oh, forgive me for 30 minutes ago, Lord. And, oh, Father, forgive me. Melt my heart with your love and your presence, that I may know you, that I may cling to you. It's God's will that you be sanctified in 1 Thessalonians 4:3. And sanctification is God's will, and it's Him purifying you. It's Him working in you and out of you to will and do His good pleasure. It's God's will that you be submissive, submissive one to another, submissive to your leaders, submissive to every human institution, 1 Peter 2:13 and 15 says. It's God's will that we're submissive, that we're humble people. He modeled it for us. He came out of heaven to earth and He was humble, humbled Himself even to death on a cross. So can we die to self? Can we surrender our life? Can we humble ourselves and say, okay, my life isn't my own, Lord. That's your call on me to live for you. And with a belt of truth with God's goodness on, I don't have to worry about, am I going to be eating rat stew in India or having rats crawl over me? Hey, what God, whatever God calls you to, He'll empower you to do. And He'll use it to work in you, to will and do His good pleasure. He'll use it to refine you, to sanctify you, to purify you, and to that you might know Him in a deeper way. All that. And He wants to take you through many trials and sufferings into the kingdom of heaven that you might be purified, that you may be conformed to the image of Christ. You see, that's the purpose. Well, submissive, and we need to be realize it's God's will that we suffer. Dun, 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 dun. Dun, 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 dun. Not a very popular message in the health, wealth, and faith gospel, which is predominant in charismatic churches. Not a very popular message for the Western church, who has been blessed and have wandered from God because we have everything we need and we don't really need God. Not a very important message, except for Christ modeled it unto death. And He said to take up your cross and follow Him. And where did He go? He went to death, and you follow Him to die to self at very least. Yet not my will, but your will be done. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. It's God's will that you suffer. Not suffering for the wrong things you do. Those would come under chastening and consequences. But that we suffer for what's doing right. He promises those who live godly in Christ Jesus will be persecuted, will suffer. You want to live right? People aren't going to like it. So we need to expect suffering. Because when suffering comes, oh, what's this now? Ow! Ow! Curl up in the nest. Ow! I quit. I'm out. Time out. You see, we need to expect suffering. We're called to suffer. So we need to realize in suffering we press on. And so many people are going through so many things right now in this church to do, especially with health issues and family issues and personal issues, that we need to realize that in our suffering. So a lot of people stop right here and they say, this is how you discern the will of God, by the word of God alone. I say it's by spirit and truth. And so many people don't let the spirit leading and revealing side of things. And I'm so excited that we're going to go this to part two, because I really wanted to work on this more and prove it beyond a shadow of a doubt. That you need a spirit and truth to discern the will of God. So many people stop here because of the abuses of the spirit leading and the spirit revealing to me, and God told me, and God said, and all these false prophecies and things. There's so much, and I agree with them. There's much abuse in the church on these kind of things. God told me, God said. I mean, it's rubbish stuff. I mean, if you're discerning the word, you just hear it and go, that's rubbish. You know? You know, people called me, a false prophet called me and said, oh, he told me all this junk. And I, with the belt of truth, said, that's not true. You're a false prophet. Say that God doesn't love me. Goodness gracious, man, I got my belt on. Get out of here. He would destroy me. Goodness gracious, get real. God loves me. He's proven it by the cross. He's shown me He loves me. He demonstrated He loved me. And this, and while I didn't care about Him, while I didn't thank Him, while I did whatever I pleased, He loved me first. Now you're trying to tell me God doesn't love me? You're a false prophet. And many people stop right here and quote Augustine, and they say to know God's will is just love God and do whatever you want. When I first heard that, I go, ooh, that doesn't sound too cool. But a lot of people stop right here. Just love God and do whatever you want. Well, I have a part two of this message that is beyond that. And yes, I agree, that will get you quite far. But I believe there are ways to discern the specific will of God that are done through the Spirit of God, through the leading of God, through many different ways, and we're going to discuss those next time. And they would quote, delight yourself in the Lord, and He'll give you the desires of your heart. And I agree with that. But I think you've got to get your desires right, your motives right. And if you don't have them right, then you're not going to find the specific will of God, because you're going to be looking for your will. So we'll talk about that next time. See, the problem is our desires and motives can be off, and we need to search our heart and evaluate spiritual inventory to be able to clear the junk out, to find out, you know, am I doing this just so I can be elevated? Am I doing this for my name? Am I doing this so I can be great? Am I doing this so all will see me? And you've got to evaluate those things constantly, because any time pride can come in and pride can destroy you, as we saw with Nebuchadnezzar in the book of Daniel. So 1 Peter 4:2, the verse we're looking at, that we should no longer live the rest of our time in the flesh for the lust of men, but for the will of God. Is that your desire today, to live for the will of God? Do you realize that God is good? He wants to bless you in His will, exceedingly and abundantly above all you can imagine, dream, or think. Is that the God you know? Is that the God you understand? Are you afraid God's going to make you eat rat soup or something if you decide to follow Him? Put on the belt of truth, the goodness of God, the love of God. He will not call you to anything that He doesn't supply you with the strength to do. Oh, yes, and it will be challenging. You up for a challenge? Oh, no, I want to stay in the nest. You're going to get too big for the nest. Okay? You got to come out of the nappies. It's time to walk, time to fly. And so we need to say, God, I'm going to trust you. I'm going to trust you with my life. I'm going to give you my life. And I want to live for you who died for me. I want to see the cross in everything I do. I want to come dressed for battle with my helmet of salvation, with my belt of truth, my breastplate of righteousness, with my gospel shoes on, my sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And I want to stand. And I want to do business for my King, my Father. And I want to stand, and I want to see what all you want to do in my life. I want to soar on eagle's wings. I want to go. I want to take this challenging ride. And it's so exciting. And God will blow your mind. But if you stay in the nest, all you're going to see is the prickles and the little fluffy stuff that the mother eagle is trying to pick out, so you're even more uncomfortable. And you become miserable in Christ. You know what I want? What's the song again? Satisfy, overwhelms and satisfies my soul. Brain, don't smoke dope, man. That's what it does. Yeah. I don't smoke dope anymore. I mean, brain damage from previously. Although next week I will be on drugs. I'm coming out of surgery. I'm coming out of surgery next week, so I won't be teaching. I'll be probably sedated or something. So I won't promise not to speak to you too much. You see, do you believe God for His best for you? Do you believe the goodness of God? Do you believe that God loves you? Then you can believe all those things. And God demonstrates it in this. And while you're a sinner, while you didn't care about Him, you didn't think about Him, you went your own way, that He showed you, this is how much I love you. I want a relationship with you. I want you to live for me because I died for you. I modeled it for you. I showed it to you. I want you to live by my model. And if you do, you'll soar on eagle's wings. So we looked at today the hindrances and helps to finding God's will. We looked at God's revealed will, and there's so much more of God's revealed will that He calls us to do, which we'll probably talk about in the four-part series we'll do sometime in the future on this very important topic, how to know God's will. And so we looked at revealed will of God in the Word of God. What's in the Word of God? What can we find out from the Word of God? And then next time we'll look at the specific will of God. And it's very interesting. And it's one of the most important things you must reconcile, is how to discern the will of God for your life. If not, you can make lots of mistakes. And yes, they're covered under the blood. And yes, they're covered under Romans 8:28. But you can waste a lot of time, a lot of money, and not see what all God wants to do in your life, because you don't take the time to discern the will of God for your life. Do you want the will of God for your life? That's the first question you must reconcile. Then, are you willing to die to your own plan? Are you willing to surrender your life, your desires, for the greater plan that's exceedingly and abundantly above all you could ever dream or expect? God's plan. Well, we'll look at this and we'll discuss it in COGS, I guess, coming up. And I hope you're encouraged. And, you know, I believe these messages are all linked. All seven of these are linked, now eight, linked to help us to find the will of God, to walk in the power and presence of God, to walk in the knowledge that God has a big plan for us. And God is big. He's huge. I got to come bring you that song maybe next time. He's huge. And He's on your side. That's good news for 2014, isn't it? Do you believe it? Can you walk in it? Can you remember in those times when you're low? Can you remember in those times when you hit a bump in the road and you're over in a ditch and you're reveling in the mud? Oh yeah, belt of truth. Put the seat belt back on and the belt of truth. And remember that God loves you and he has a plan for your life. He's trying to do something in you and working in you and out of you to will and do his good pleasure. But will you continue to live the rest of your life, the rest of your time in the flesh and the lust for men, lust of men? Or will you live for the will of God? He wants to blow your mind. And he wants to take you to heights you've never seen, because he only takes you higher. There's a song like that, isn't it? Higher. No? Higher. Shut up and close, right? All right. So, he wants to take you to heights that you've never known on eagle's wings. But will you first got to surrender and say, I'm ready to fly. Father, I just pray now that, Lord, we would take these encouragements and we would learn to discern your will and that we would desire to do it. I pray we'd purify our motives and take spiritual inventory to check our heart to see where we're at. That we may realize our need for you, that we need you, Jesus. We need you this year. We want to walk in your presence and power, dependence upon you. And Father, I pray for everybody here going through so many things, Lord, that they would learn deep truths from you by these trials, by these sufferings. That they would embrace them with the love of God that satisfies our soul. Oh, Father, I pray for all of us that we'd find a satisfaction in you that we've never known this year through entering into your presence and the knowledge of your goodness, that we may sing, how great is our God. Sing with me, how great is our God. And all will see and know, that's what I want to do, how great is our God. God bless you guys.